And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Joined now by Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou. Gabe, how are you doing today, man?
Not bad. What's up, guys?
Doing really well. So I looked up a stat last night because I wanted to see what this non-conference loss to Indiana means for Missouri. And since 2002, that's as far back as I could go with the ESPN schedule stuff. Since 2002, there have been 8 ranked SEC teams that lost to unranked non-conference opponents. Of those teams, only one made it to the conference championship game. That was Tennessee. They lost to Notre Dame back in 2004 and finished the season 9-3. Other than Tennessee, not a single team made it to more than 7 wins through the rest of the season. What do you take of that stat? What can we make of that stat? And what does it mean, do you think, for Missouri going forward?
Well, I would say, number one, SEC teams don't lose to unranked teams very often. You know, number two, losing to Notre Dame is a lot different than losing to Indiana. Mm. But number three, for this year, I don't know how much it means. And the reason is 6-2 is going to win the East, guys. I mean, Georgia's lost a game. South Carolina's lost a game. I think they're both going to lose at least one more. If you're 6-2 and win a tiebreaker, you're going to win the East. Now, you know, the way I feel about Missouri is that I think their A game can win the East. If they were to go out and play their A game, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks. Problem is they haven't played an A game once, and I don't really know if they're necessarily capable of it. And if they play the way they played last week, I'm just telling you, they play that game 8 times, they're going to end up 0-8.
Gabe,
maybe 0-7. They might beat Vanderbilt.
Gabe, a huge part of that A game is the play of the offensive line. And last week, they did not look good. This week, it's a reshuffled unit going into a really tough environment at Williams-Brice Stadium, so I would expect the communication is going to be a little bit tougher. What are your expectations for this new unit this week going into South Carolina?
Well, I mean, it has to be better because it's the only position on the field where you absolutely can't win if they're not good. I mean, teams have overcome bad quarterback play. Nobody ever overcomes bad offensive line play to win a game, and Missouri's was bad. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. With Evan Bame, I'm not as, concerned. I don't like using that word because, frankly, I'm not concerned about anything. Like, none of this keeps me up at night. But, you know, but with Bame, we know he can be better. We've seen him be better. So, you know, he's going to be better. But with the other guys, I mean, Mitch Hall, who's now not starting, Brad McNulty, who now is starting, you know, Jordan Williams is going to play some, Taylor Chappell's going to play. We don't know how good these guys are. I mean, maybe they're an improvement, but if they are, it makes you wonder why they weren't in the lineup, you know, August 31st. And we've not seen them prove it on the field on Saturday. So we have to see that. And this is not an easy place to go do it. I think this is one of the most underrated home field environments in the country.
Once again, we're speaking with Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe DeArmond. So how much stock do you put into this loss to Indiana? Because I think the most concerning thing to me, at least, is that they just straight up got beat by Indiana. It wasn't that it looked like they were overlooking Indiana. It wasn't that there was any fluky turnovers or anything. Mizzou got beat on the field for 4 quarters by an Indiana team that's not very good. And that, to me, was concerning.
Well, they did get beat, but I don't think we can say. I mean, you sure hope it's because Missouri was overlooking them. Because if it wasn't, that means that's how good Missouri is, and this is going to be a long year if that's true. Nobody will ever say it, but listen, that to me had all the looks of, yeah, we can toss our helmets out and win, and it got into the third, fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they thought, We gotta go play now. We gotta make a couple drives, and they did. And the problem is when you wait that long, when you let a team hang around that long, all it takes is 1 or 2 plays to beat you. And they had the pass interference on 4th and 6. Good call, by the way. Anybody that says it wasn't, you know, it doesn't really understand what that rule means. And then the screen pass, and then they're beat. And then, you know, Pinkel, I think, just kind of froze up, didn't call the timeout. Everything went wrong in the last couple minutes because, to me, that was a team that was a little bit panicked when they finally woke up and said, oh, my God, we could lose this game. And I'll be honest, guys, there was no point until Indiana got to the three-yard line that I thought Missouri could lose the game. I still kind of thought, bad performance, you gain nothing out of this, but they're going to win the game until Indiana was at the three.
And once again, we're speaking of Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou. So we mentioned the offensive line earlier and the shuffle that we saw at the depth chart there. Receiver, we're going to see somebody new coming in with Zarius White being injured. Cornerback, they switched Kenya Dennis and John Gibson. When was the last time that you saw this much shuffling on the depth chart through the season? I know we see a lot of it in the summer, but in the season?
Yeah, never. Because honestly, I mean, this is the first time I can remember it, that we've gotten a depth chart that I thought, hang on, they're actually publicly making changes. I mean, there's been a guy here and there, but for the most part, and I tell fans this all the time, we'll post the depth chart every Monday, but it doesn't change much, and it doesn't mean much, because that's just the one they give to the media on Mondays, and it may or may not be true come Saturday. But I think it was clear that, you know, Gary Pinkel was making a little bit of a statement. All right, jobs are not secure here. You have to come back and earn your job and practice. And I think there's a few spots where obviously that's not true. I mean, Matty Mock's going to be the starting cornerback. You know, there are some guys that are still pretty secure in their jobs, but I don't think there should be a lot of them after last Saturday.
Gabe, we're talking about a South Carolina program that has really had Mizzou's number these past 2 years. 2 years ago, it was a blowout, and of course, last year, an absolute heartbreaker. What have you seen in these South Carolina games? What have they particularly gotten over Mizzou that Mizzou has not figured out yet?
Well, 2 years ago, they were better. They were just better in every way on the field. I mean, you want to talk about a bad day for the offensive line. That game, I forget, I think the final was like 31-14. I'm telling you guys, I was there, and it was nowhere near that close.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was nothing at the end of the first quarter, and you couldn't figure out how. It should have been 21-0.
That was the one where Connor Shaw had 20 straight completions, right?
Yeah, it was.
That's right. And it literally, I mean, just Missouri didn't look like they could gain a yard. You know, that was really the emblematic game of that 2012 season. And then last year, you know what? Connor Shaw is one of the more underrated college quarterbacks of recent memory. I mean, the kid just won games, and what he did in that game, and, you know, I mean, I've got a story up on Andrew Baggett and that game from last year this morning, but, you know, there's I thought the most frustrating play from all of last season for Missouri fans should have been that 4th-and-15 where Bruce Ellington got open. And, you know, I mean, it was just one of those things that it happened. You know, I don't think South Carolina has a hex over Missouri or anything. I mean, if they win the next nine, if we're talking, if somebody's doing the show in 9 years and we're talking about 11 straight wins, that's a different deal. But it's two games. South Carolina was better 2 years ago, and they were almost as good last year, to be quite honest. I mean, South Carolina's had a run of pretty good teams, and I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. I think South Carolina's ceiling, you know, South Carolina has come closer to playing its best game, which they did against Georgia this year. But, you know, I think Missouri's got a shot, especially because South Carolina can't defend the pass.
Once again, Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou joining us here on the Morning Blitz. Zarius White, I mentioned it earlier, going to be out for this game. I'll be honest, I don't know how much of an impact I feel like that injury is going to have on this game. How much of a step back do you think that takes for the wide receiver unit? To me, I haven't seen a ton out of Zarius White after that first week of the year.
Well, they've got three receivers who have more than two catches, and Zarius is one of them.
Good
point. It's an impact. I mean, you know, the simple fact of the matter is, outside of Zarius White, Bud Sasser, and Jimmy Hunt, I haven't seen anyone make an impact at that position. And really, that goes elsewhere. I haven't seen Sean Colkins back up. I haven't seen Ish Witter. I haven't seen Eddie Prince do anything meaningful. I said at the beginning of the year, 1-22, I thought Missouri was good enough to win the East and maybe win the SEC. But 23-44, I didn't know. And I still don't know. And to me, that's a problem, That's a mistake by this coaching staff. I mean, Gary Pinkel has told us he needs to get guys in more, but he hasn't actually done it. And now, here's the problem you're facing. Now Brad McNulty's in, and he's basically played a half of meaningful football going into South Carolina. And Wesley Leftwich is on the field for his first start, and he's basically done nothing for the first four games. It's a handful of snaps, but these guys, they've never been in anything like they're going to be in on Saturday. And I think they need to have gotten a little bit of experience. They need to have had a pass thrown their way, you know, and they haven't. And I think that's a problem for Missouri, because now you're counting on guys that you just don't know.
Once again, Gabe DeArmond here on the Morning Blitz. If you're looking at this game and we're looking back on this game next Tuesday or next Wednesday or whenever, and we're looking at the box score for Missouri to win, what do you expect that we would need to see there? Is it turnovers? Is it Dylan Thompson having a bad game? Is it Matty Mock throwing for four touchdowns? What do you think is the most important thing for Missouri to win this game on Saturday?
It's Mike Davis under 120 yards. It's Missouri showing they can stop somebody on the ground. Mike Davis is the best player on South Carolina's offense. It's that, and it's also Matty Mock, yes, taking advantage of that South Carolina secondary. But I think to do that, you know, the Missouri defense is going to have to play well. I'm not convinced that this offense, with this line, with these receivers, can go out and score 38 points on anything approaching a regular basis. So I think they're going to have to win a couple games 24-17, and this might be one of them. And to do that, obviously Davis can't run wild.
He's Gabe DeArmond. He is with PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, what can the people look for on PowerMizzou this week?
We are previewing the game, obviously, from every angle. Got tons of recruiting stuff. I will say that next weekend, or 2 weekends from now, I guess, the Georgia game is probably the biggest recruiting weekend in the history of Missouri basketball. And we will have all kinds of stuff on that the next couple weeks. Pete Cannelberry actually on his way to Atlanta today, and we'll be heading to Columbia, South Carolina in a couple days to provide coverage from there. And, I will watch the Royals for a few days.
Gabe, we will be watching the Royals together, hoping to God that somehow, someway, Joe Nathan blows another save down the line. He's Gabe DeArmond. He's with Power Mizzou. Does an excellent job there. Gabe, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one.